Μίλα μου ιστορικά. Πολιτιστικό Ίδρυμα Τραπέζης Κύπρου.
From behind the Iron Curtain to the land of Aphrodite, the trip of a Soviet archaeologist to Cyprus in 1962. Dr. Pavel Evdokimov, historian.
At first, we should discuss the way to Cyprus. The voyage of Sergei Kiselev began on Thursday, the 3rd of May, 1962. And as there was no direct connection between Cyprus and the USSR, at that time, the route from Moscow to Nicosia was complex. At first, Kiselev went to Prague, where he changed planes and departed for Zurich, where he had 7 hours wait for a new plane to Athens. In Athens, he stayed for one night at the Lido Hotel and early in the morning took off for Nicosia, where he finally arrived at about 8 o'clock in the morning on Friday, the 4th of May. The date of his departure was the 14th of May, when he moved back to Athens, so Professor stayed in Cyprus during 10 days. At Athens, Kiselev stayed also for a number of days, visiting the Athenian Acropolis, the Daphne Monastery, thoroughly examined the National Archaeological Museum, and paid a daily visit to Mycenae. It took him at least 4 days. Afterwards, he continued to Vienna, where he also stayed for some time and saw the Schönbrunn Palace and some other places, and then returned to Moscow. If the route calculations in his diary were accurate, it occurred on the 25th of May, and also not by direct flight, but via Warsaw. So it was a rather long journey, full of impressions, meetings and adventures. Then I would discuss his visit and contacts in Cyprus. At the airport of Nicosia, he was warmly met by a group of Cypriots from the Friendship Society, who honored him with a bouquet of roses. Among this group, there was the Russian-speaking Cypriot communist Christoforos Ioannidis, who later accompanied Kiselev as an interpreter in his journey across Cyprus. He had studied history and archaeology in Prague and spoke English, Czech and Russian languages. He was the member of the Central Committee of the Akel Party. There were also two representatives of the Soviet embassy, Boris Morozov, the third secretary of the embassy of the USSR, and Anatoly Prishelov. Boris Morozov was evidently responsible for minding the professor and accompanied him during the whole visit. A special team of 5 persons guided the professor. Christoforos Ioannidis as interpreter, Boris Morozov from the Soviet embassy, one Cypriot teacher whose name remains unidentified, and the Soviet car driver Mikhail Ivanovich, also from the embassy staff. Professor Kiselev stayed in the best and most fashionable hotel in Nicosia, the Lydra Palace, and resided in room 138 on the first floor. After he became accommodation and had 6 hours of rest, Professor Kiselev went to see Nikolai Aksionov, the KGB agent who had worked in Cyprus since February 1961. According to unwritten rules, the official position of Professor Kiselev required such consultations with representatives of the Soviet intelligence service and control over him. The next morning, the 5th of May, the professor and his company went to the Department of Antiquities and met its director, Porfirios Dikaios. Professor Kiselev characterizes him in his notes as a courteous European and added that the books brought from Moscow as a gift had certain influence and made their communication more friendly and close. During this conversation, Vasas Karayorgis, at the time curator of the Cyprus Museum, joined them and was also introduced to the foreign guest. The colleagues discussed the plan of Kiselev's visit and after they took a short tour through the Cyprus Museum. Professor Kiselev enjoyed the exposition very much and despite the relatively short time at his disposal, the scholars found a number of topics for discussion such as the ornament of Neolithic combed wares, bronze daggers, the carbon dating of Heraclitean layers, the discoveries of Claude Schaeffer in Ras Shamra. Porfirios Dikaios was pleased when Professor Kiselev recognized the clay model of the sanctuary from Vunus, published in the French archaeological magazine Syria. In discussing the disputed questions of Ankomi and Ugarit relative stratigraphy and chronology, Professor Kiselev also supported the point of view of Porfirios Dikaios against Claude Schaeffer's interpretation. The program of visit presumed that almost each day from the 5th until the 13th of May, the professor would visit a different region of Cyprus and see monuments in the following order: Kyrenia, Larnaca, Limassol, Paphos, Vouni, Soli, Chirokitia, Salamina, Enkomi, and Famagusta. Thursday, the 10th of May, and Saturday, the 12th of May, were reserved for the Cyprus Museum, where a Soviet professor gave lectures, as he did during his visit to China and Hungary. As we can understand from both the short notes in the diary and the photos, the main features of this plan were successfully realized. On their way to the north coast, the group made their first stop in Belle Pays, where they visited the famous abbey and had coffee with salted peanuts for a snack. In Kyrenia, the group visited the castle, saw the harbor and a tourist liner from Yugoslavia with West German tourists aboard. After Kyrenia, they went to Lampusa to see the remains of the monastery, the church of Agios Eulalios, and the remains of the ancient cemetery. Then the group turned back to Nicosia, passing by the castle of San Ilarion. The professor Kiselov devoted the evening to writing letters to his wife and the preparations of the lecture. The next day, the 6th of May, was devoted to Larnaca. There was an official meeting with Mayor Yorgos Christodoulidis, a member of AKEL, and members of local municipality. After a short greeting event in the lobby of some hotel, incidentally, Kiselov noted that Christodoulidis' daughter Vera was at the time a student at the Patrice Lumumba People's Friendship University in Moscow, the group set out for Hala Sultan Tekke and some representatives of the local community joined them. They visited the mosque and Professor Kiselov determined the Haram tomb as a sort of dolmen, megalithic structure. After the mosque, he had some time to visit the ancient settlement of the Late Bronze Age and walk back and forth across the field in the hope of finding any ceramic shred, but without great success. Professor Kiselov also took a couple of photos walking in the imposing palm grove near the mosque, and then the group left for Kiti. They saw Panaya Angeloktisti Church and the unique mosaic inside, and then returned to Larnaca, where they visited the house of the Pieridis family and saw their collection. Professor Kiselov met Mrs. Theodora and Mr. Dimitris Pieridis, who knew some greetings word in Russian, found the collection very imposing, and was especially impressed by the number and quality of medieval glazed bowls and Roman and Hellenistic glass, as well as by the servant meeting them at the entrance and by huge araucarias in the garden. On the 7th of May, Professor Kiselov and his companions came to Limassol. At the town hall, they met the mayor of Limassol, Kostas Partasidis, a significant public figure of AKEL and one of the leaders of Cypriot trade unions. Besides this meeting, Professor Kiselov visited the Limassol Museum at the Limassus Castle. Then the professor visited the archaeological site of Kurion, the sanctuary of Apollo Ilatis and the Colossi Castle. The next day, the 8th of May, was evidently devoted to Paphos. The voyagers drove to Petra to Romeo and saw the birthplace of Aphrodite, where Professor Kiselov took three photos of this picturesque view. On behalf of local organization of AKEL, the professor was received by the second secretary Kostas Sofoklius, who gave him a set of colored postcards with views of Cyprus. The cards depict the harbor of Paphos, its medieval fort St. Paul's Pillar, scenes from rural life at Alakati, the view of Hala Sultan Tekke and some other Muslim minaret. On the reverse sides of the cards, Kostas Sofoklius made kind and friendly autographs. There were a number of locations in Paphos which were interesting for archaeologists. First of all, the newly discovered mosaics in Kato Paphos, of course. Afterwards, the group visited the tombs of the kings and the Paphos District Archaeological Museum. The visiting cards stored in the Kiselov's files permit us to conclude that Professor met Yorgos Iliadis, local Paphian intellectual, archaeologist, ethnologist, and creator of the Ethnographic Museum, who at the same time was the honorary curator of the Paphos District Museum. Yorgos Iliadis evidently guided Kiselov during his visit to Paphos and probably to the Paphos area. Another visiting card from the file demonstrates that among the Parthians who accepted the Soviet scholar was also a local politician and member of the parliament, Dr. Nikos Mavronikolas, lawyer elected to the Greek Chamber of Representatives with support of the AKEL. Beside archaeological sites and museums, Professor Kisilov also visited the gymnasium of Paphos and met its principal, Pavlos Pavlidis, and vice principal, Savas Kupatos. Their photos taken at the entrance of the gymnasium portico, accompanied by Dr. Yorgos Iliadis and two dogs, is the only image which the professor took in Paphos with his camera. It is remarkable that Yorgos Iliadis was also a teacher at the same school. The group also visited Kuklia, where Professor Kisilov saw the site and examined the exposed findings in the museum, especially noting a significant number of syllabic inscriptions stored in three rooms. There he made three drawings representing a head in the double crown stored in the Louvre, the colored wings of the sculpture of the Sphinx from the Marcello Hill, and a limestone capital in the form of a lotus flower from the same assemblage. After Kukle, Kisilov and his companions went to the northwest of the island to see the Palace of Vouni and the ancient theater of Soli. The next day, the 9th of May, began with a new trip to Hierokitia. This time it was Porfirios Dikaios himself, the excavator of the site, who guided his Soviet colleague and his companions. However, on the 11th of May, when Professor Kisilov and his group went to see the eastern part of the island, Famagusta, Salamina and Enkomi, we can detect with the help of the photos that the communication between the archaeologists became more informal and friendly. Porfirios Dikaios acted once more as the host and arranged a sort of banquet with wine on the veranda of the Dik house in Enkomi, and the Soviet delegation received an authentic experience of Cypriot hospitality. Professor Kisilov appeared again in the photos side by side with Porfirios Dikaios. A significant number of photos, 12 photos, are taken in Salamina, where Kisilov met Vasas Karayorgis once more, and it evidently reflects the charming impression which that site made upon the Soviet archaeologist. The group visited the gymnasium, the theater, the royal necropolis, and had a conversation with the village people employed at the excavation. Significant interest arose from the use of machinery in the removal of the dumps from the site. In Famagusta, the professor visited the medieval town and admired its Gothic architecture and Venetian fortification, as can be detected from the photos. But he also paid a visit to the mayor, Andreas Pouyouros, a lawyer and politician who was the head of the city for many years since 1953. On the next day, the 12th of May, Professor Kisilov had a meeting with Konstantinos Spyridakis, the chairman of the Greek Cypriot Assembly, who was the first minister of education. The high rank of the meeting was also enforced by the presence of the Soviet ambassador, Pavel Yermoshin. A well-educated person interested in archaeology and involved in the issues of public education, as he was the principal of the Pancyprion Gymnasium in Nicosia before the independence and then was the head of the Council of Education, Dr. Spyridakis must have had a serious and concrete conversation with Professor Kisilov. Some points of their dialogue left their traces in the diary. The question was on the organization of teacher training courses for Cypriots in the USSR. They discussed this idea, entering into details such as the number of coming delegation, the payment for the classes, the more convenient time for the visit. At the top of the list of the people he met in Cyprus, Professor Kisilov mentioned Andreas Papadopoulos, the Minister of Communication and Works, who was the member of the government responsible for the Department of Antiquities. Probably, their conversation took place on the same day, and if it was not a mere protocol meeting, they could discuss the prospect of future collaboration with the Institute of Archaeology of the Soviet Academy of Science. Next morning, the 13th of May, the professor began with writing the report. It was probably the summary of his meetings of the previous day. Upon finishing his work by 10 o'clock a.m., he went once more to the Cyprus Museum. bought their postcards representing ancient items and the historical landscape of Famagusta and Kyrenia, and leaflets with description of the archaeological sites, and finished his examination of the exhibition. The cards and tourist brochures were not the only souvenirs that the professor brought home from Cyprus. After Kiselov's demise, his wife and colleague Dr. Lydia Evtyukhova transferred four ancient Cypriot vessels to the Pushkin Museum of Fine Arts in Moscow, which could have only originated as a result of this trip. It is uncertain if these vases were donation from the Department of Antiquities or some other acquisitions. This was evidently his final day in Cyprus. On the 14th of May, Kiselov left for Athens. He was guided to the airport by a number of Cypriot activists from the Friendship Society. Among them was Evgenia Paleologou Petronda, the famous Greek writer and activist established in Cyprus since 1960. She gave her visiting card to Professor Kiselov with the wish bon voyage and the date of this departure, the 14th of May. The trip to Cyprus was to be the last overseas voyage of Professor Kiselov. He was ill and unsuccessfully operated and died of complications on the 9th of November 1962, the same year. Next year, Porfirios Dikaios left his position in the Department of Antiquities, retired and moved away from Cyprus forever. The next generations of Soviet archaeologists continued to deal with Cyprus during the 1960s, but none of them had administrative and academic positions comparable with the possibilities of Professor Kiselov. They were younger, more involved in the current situation in the Mediterranean, had a wider outlook and traveled a lot across Europe and the Near East, but their public influence was limited and they didn't possess a ruling power in the Academy of Science capable for creating new institutions abroad. As a result, the Soviet Academic School of Cypriot Archaeological Studies was not created in the 1960s in the USSR, despite concentrated academic and governmental efforts invested in it in the beginning of the decade. It was probably a combination of particular personal factors, along with the general changing course of the Soviet foreign policy in the Eastern Mediterranean region after the retirement of Nikita Khrushchev, that led to these possibilities remaining unrealized, despite the modest results of the initial foray in 1962 of Soviet-Cypriot relations in the field of archaeology. As subjects of history, the Soviet archaeologists were limited by their lifetime, social system, political authorities, type of scientific organization and funding, migration visas, personal likes and dislikes, and so on. As the objects of history, they could play their role as agents of the soft power in public diplomacy and remain dependent on the decisions of the Soviet government and party functionaries. The contrast between more than modest Soviet results in Cyprus and the success of the Polish archaeological missions in Paphos, which originated almost in the same years since 1965, is evident and reveals significant difference in the position of the archaeological and other academic institutions in both countries during the Cold War and the great and mode of their incorporation into the global world of science. To conclude, I should mention one interesting document found in the archive of the Russian Academy of Science in Moscow this year. It is the request from the Society for Progress and Development in Famagusta, who in October 1962, the same year, asked some financial support from the Soviet Academy of Science for funding the excavations of ancient Salamina. Soviet ambassador and in Cyprus Pavel Yermoshin agreed with this initiative and took into account the possibility to arrange Soviet archaeological mission in Cyprus. But the director of the Institute of Archaeology in Moscow, Professor Boris Rybakov, rejected, and all the efforts of Sergei Kiselov and the Soviet diplomats in Cyprus were lost in vain. So, we can see the combination of personal political factors upon the situation And I would like to remember once more in this conclusion the name, the brilliant name, glorious name of late Professor Vasas Karayorgis, whom I had honor to know personally. His encouraging example, his brilliant biography perfectly demonstrates what one devoted person can do and achieve for his country, for academic science, for saving the world cultural heritage. Thank you for your attention.